I honestly don't know if I remember how to make a podcast anymore. I've been gone for so long. It's been like...
Well, so much has happened since. It hasn't really been that long, but I mean, so much has happened. Like,
so, but when this episode comes out on Saturday, I'll have been gone since June 1st. So like 2 months. And I forgot how to make a podcast, so... So, hello, everybody. Welcome back to, welcome to season five, but welcome back to Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. However, as we've mentioned multiple times before, Tessa will not really be joining us all that often this season because she is on hiatus, because she has a lot of work to do. She's still really pulling her weight at the news station, but, you know,
she's in high demand.
She's kicking butt and taking names. So instead, this season, I'm going to be having a bunch of guests take her spot, and it's going to be fun. So this episode, we have my friend Dustin from the podcast Dustin Can Read.
Hello.
So Dustin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your podcast?
Well, I am a native Mississippian, except on the opposite end of the state as Sammy.
Yep, yep.
My podcast actually is about middle grade and YA books from the 2000s, and I just read them and we talk about them and make fun of them as adults. Just because, you know, don't take life too seriously. Let's make fun of some books.
So it's like a book club, but yeah. It's all young adult novels and it's all adults reading these young adult novels.
And just saying what you would say actually to people who, you know, as if you were watching a movie of these books already and you're screaming the commentary out.
Yes. And it's a lot of fun. I was just on an episode.
Yes.
We talked about this new Haunted Mask Goosebumps book. That episode, what date does that come out?
8/31, August 31st.
So if you're listening, this comes out August 1st. So, okay. So if you're listening.
Not August 31st, July 31st.
July 31st. That's what I thought.
Sorry.
Okay. So if you're listening to this episode right now, the episode that I was on Dustin Can Read came out yesterday on July 31st. So go check that out. We talked about a new Goosebumps book. It was a lot of fun. I really tore that book apart with my critiques.
Oh, you did. And it's funny. It's really funny. I can't wait. I can't even wait for you to hear it, Sammy.
I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy hearing myself. That sounds really vain.
I do the same thing. Because I like to hear it because it's like, oh, I forgot I said that. And it just, I think of it as like a different person was just talking.
Well, and see, that's the thing is like when I record podcasts, a lot of what I say comes off the cuff. So it's like, it's in the moment. And it's like when I go back and listen to it, I'm like, I totally forgot that I said that. And that's hysterical.
Yeah. So, and I'm a lot funnier off the cuff. I can't plan funny too. As much.
Me too. That's why, like, when I write my scripts for these episodes, it's more of like a script of like, hey, here's all the facts. And then I fill in all the banter in between the facts.
Yeah. There you go.
So anyway, let's get to our script. So this week, I am taking a conspiracy again, which is normally Tess's topic, but I decided I was going to let my guests pick whether they wanted to talk about a conspiracy or a cryptid. That way, they actually are talking about something that they like and enjoy and want to talk about, and then I'll just cover the opposite topic because I like them both. So I'm talking about a conspiracy this week. Dustin's talking about a cryptid. I'm trying to think. Do you want to do the penny for your thoughts where we flip a penny to see who goes first, or do you just want to go first because you're the guest?
Let's flip.
Okay. Right. Well, I will let you pick then. How about that?
Okay. I pick tails.
And I don't have the penny for your shot glass, so all right, it's heads. So I guess I will go first.
All right.
Okay. So let me take you back to the summer of 2016. Specifically, July of 2016. I know that seems like forever ago, but do you remember what happened July of 2016?
July 2016. There's so much happened in July in 2016 too.
2016 was a big year. Not as big as this one. Not as chaotic as this one.
Probably second. Probably second in big years, I would think.
It was.
But.
Well, I mean, it was the beginning of big years, if you'll give me that. So, summer of 2016 was the death of Harambe, which, you know, would launch us into the chaotic era that our most chaotic era that our society has seen in decades, and kind of led up to how things are now. You know.
Yeah. Wow, I forgot all about
everything,
that.
Everything changed when Harambe was killed. Everything changed.
Really?
But that's okay. But that's not the conspiracy I'm talking about today.
Okay.
So I'm specifically talking about after July 6th of 2020, when Pokemon Go was officially launched to the public. And we entered a very beautiful, albeit short, time of peace. World peace. You know, everyone was out enjoying this new app that not only let you catch hundreds of the world's most popular video game creatures, but it also encouraged you to go out and explore your community and the world around you. So, what if I told you that a new app launched this year that also encourages you to do the same sort of exploration, but it's a lot more weird, full of coincidence, and uses quantum physics?
Huh. I'm intrigued.
So I'm going to be talking about the conspiracy that is behind the app Randonautica.
Randonautica.
Yes. Have you heard about this at all?
No. It sounds something like it's going to be some kind of geocache type of thing.
Kind of. So I had probably about like a month ago, maybe a little bit longer, we got an email from a listener that was like, hey, you should look this up. It's really interesting. And I did, and it was fascinating. And then one of my other favorite podcasts talked about it, and I didn't want to talk about it like at the same time as them. So I figured I'd wait a couple of months. So the app describes itself as the world's first quantumly generated choose-your-own-adventure reality game.
Ooh.
And it uses quantum number generators to randomly assign you a set of coordinates based on your location.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it uses like a random number generator to give you coordinates near you, and you're supposed to go exploring those coordinates.
Huh. That could be dangerous.
Right? So what is a random number generator? And subsequently, a quantum random number generator. Well, according to the company IDQ, which is one of the world's leading quantum security companies, a random number generator is a number generated by a process whose outcome is unpredictable and which cannot be subsequently reliably reproduced. And a quantum random number generator generates outcomes by observing and recording a contained natural process as it happens, making it possible to perform live verification of the numbers and monitor the hardware to ensure it's operating properly. So basically, the difference is like a random number generator, the numbers are random, but it could possibly be like tampered with, and it could possibly be predicted or recreated. But a quantum random number generator uses quantum particles, which are some of the most unpredictable, smallest particles in the universe. And they kind of just move around however they feel like. And they use those to generate the numbers. And it's there. You can't get more random than a quantum random number generator.
Right. So basically it's kind of, I wouldn't say safer, but I guess it's just, it can be tampered with as much, I guess, right?
So where does the conspiracy come into play with this? So we've discussed the science behind the app, but there's more to it than just that. You don't just get like a random set of coordinates. You also choose between whether you'd like to visit an attractor, a void, or an anomaly. So an attractor is an area where quantum points are highly concentrated, or a place that the Randonautica app would deem as a highly significant area. A void is opposite of an attractor, so it's an area where there aren't so many quantum points. And then an anomaly randomly chooses or is chosen by the app as either an attractor or a void. So basically, you're kind of flipping a coin with an anomaly. But it's believed to be more heavily influenced by the user's intentions if you pick anomaly. So the conspiracy theory here is very similar to like the butterfly effect from chaos theory. And to quote Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, a butterfly can flap its wings in Beijing, and in Central Park you get rain instead of sunshine. So basically, your mindset and what you intend or hope for, hope to find on your Randonautica journey can affect the outcome of the coordinates that the quantum number generator spits out and send you to a place that aligns with that intention. So, quantum particles are affected by the world around it. So by putting out, so the theory basically states that if I think the word spooky, that will change the outcome of the quantum particles and the quantum number generator to be something spooky.
Yeah. Okay. You know? That makes more sense now. I was like, where are we going with this?
Yeah, I know. It seems really weird, but yeah. So basically the whole thought process behind this is that the random numbers generated can change based on the unspoken input of what you're hoping to find. And it's not like you put any input into the app saying spooky or, you know, interesting.
It's kind of that vibe you're putting out, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it tells you to, once you like pick anomaly, void, or attractor, you're supposed to sit and meditate on the thought of what you hope to find in this journey. And that supposedly puts that energy out into the world around you and can change the numbers generated to give you something along the lines of what you were intending.
That's kind of like a tarot card reading in a way too. You're kind of putting out different energies. You're kind of, you know, you're influencing what's the reading going to be about with your question that you have out, you know, to answer. Right.
So, so it's really interesting. It's an interesting concept. And like I said, you don't type that intention, because they call it an intention. You don't type that into the app. You don't put it anywhere. You just kind of, you know, visualize it in your mind's eye, I guess. So the eeriness, though, lies within the fact that people are finding things related to their intentions that they only thought about, that they didn't put anywhere, they didn't speak out loud so that their, you know, smart home could listen to them or their smartphone could record it and put it out there. They're just thinking these things. So this app got really popular on TikTok, where Randonauts, which is what users of the app are called, and I think that's the coolest name ever, Randonauts. So Randonauts on TikTok were posting their adventures and their findings and how eerily they often aligned with what their intentions were. So we're going to look at a few stories of different Randonauts adventures and show how their accounts support the conspiracy behind this mysterious app.
Okay.
So now keep in mind that a lot of these stories either come from TikTok or the official Randonautica subreddit. So take them with a grain of salt, but they're still really interesting. Like whenever I research conspiracies and stuff like this, I don't usually like to use Reddit as a source, because it's a little bit more, I mean, it's all submitted by users. You know, so I don't usually like to use it as a source, but in this case, we're looking for user stories where they match up. So,
okay.
Reddit will be a source.
We'll allow it.
We'll allow it. So user Danny HKE said they manifested the word love and they got sent to this side entry of a cemetery, and the cemetery happened to be where their younger brother was buried and passed away 2.5 years ago.
Oh, that's creepy, but also kind of sweet.
Right? Some of these are sweet. Some of them are creepy. But yeah, so basically they got sent to, they manifested the word love and got sent to the cemetery where their brother is buried.
Ooh.
Creepy. Chills,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
Goosebumps. All
goosebumps.
Over. User Stonecolder316 said, my intent was closure. I came across a field of my sister who has passed away, their sister's birth flower. I've never seen these in real life, and I have them tattooed on me. I felt at peace. So they wanted closure, and they came across a field. The Randonautica number generator gave them coordinates to a field full of their sister's birth flower.
Ooh, I'm getting teary-eyed, like chills now.
Right?
Yeah, like my eyes are tearing up.
It's like, it's really sweet. You know, some of these are really sweet. And it's like, I don't know how much I believe in this. And I mean, as with any conspiracy theories, I always like to make sure that people know that I'm not here to try to convince you of them. I'm not here to tell you that, I believe in them, and this is facts. I'm just here to present you with the findings behind the conspiracy theory. So, next story comes from user Acai Berries, A-Q-A-I. I think it's supposed to be like acai, but they spelled it A-Q-A-I, but Acai Berries. They said, my close friend Zachary passed away in 2016 at the age of 14. For years since his passing, his energy has always been in and out of my life. I set my intention out today in getting a sign from my friend Zach, and lo and behold, a literal sign. The coordinates took them to a place that had one of those big, like, vinyl poster signs, and it said, "Remember Zach."
Ooh. Wow.
Right? And it, I mean, it was about a different Zach, but it's just the coincidence.
A sign about Zach.
Yeah. And their intention was looking for a sign from Zach, and it was a sign that said, "Remember Zach." Creepy.
Ooh.
But sweet.
Kind of makes you think, like, if it's a spiritual thing at the same time, too, maybe, like, spirits are affecting it.
Right? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously, you can't really ever know that for certain. So, so the next one comes from user YoYuke 69, 69, 69. Nice. my intention was scary, and it took me to the middle of nowhere on a dirt road. I then pulled up to this abandoned mansion where religious retreats apparently happen. And it's like this spooky looking castle thing with like these spooky looking stone steps. So it definitely kind of fits the scary intention. Like it works. Next story comes from user TBGMDHC278. Went in with the intent to find a glitch in the matrix, and it brought us to this door that hasn't queued up yet. So it's a door that's been bricked over, but they left the awning, stairs, and metal railings leading up to the door intact, and it kind of gives a weird looking feeling.
Oh, yeah, you know? The door disappeared.
Yeah, or it's, you know, a glitch in the matrix. So kind of like a video game where you can see like an entrance that's clearly meant to be like exploded and removed, like in Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of looks like that. So it's like, it kind of fits that glitch in the matrix sort of vibe that they intended.
I can totally get that.
It's cool. And I mean, it's like everybody's seen a door that's been bricked over, but yeah, usually they remove the stairs and
the railings
and stuff like that. But this one literally has stairs going up to it, the railings and the like awning over the top of it. It's
most of the time I would see, maybe if there was like a small, if the only thing that was there was like a stoop, they might leave that like a small little curvy stoop, but but not steps and an awning and like everything. That's creepy.
It looks really weird. It definitely gives a weird vibe. Next story comes from TikTok. This was user at Hot Chippendale. yeah, I know. This TikTok user tells her story that due to COVID-19, she made the difficult decision to give up on going to her dream college and instead attend her state school of Kansas University. She went randonauting with her intention being closure for her decision. The random coordinates took her to a field in the middle of nowhere with the letters KU mowed into the grass.
Weird.
Right? And there was like, it was just like this empty field with like a horse in it and then KU, which is Kansas University, or could stand for Kansas University. Super weird, right?
Yeah, that's too much. These are too coincidental.
They're really coincidental. And it's like, it's a weird conspiracy, you know, that it's like some of this is a little too on the nose to just be like brushed aside.
Where do we get one of these rando knot things?
You just download the app. It's free on like the
it's a free
app on like the App Store or the Google Play Store. Some people complain about it crashing a lot, but it's like, I guess when it works, it works really well. I downloaded it. I have not used it yet. I don't really want to use it by myself.
No. Well, not for anything sinister, of course, but not, you know what I mean?
Know.
Like something creepy.
Okay, but listen.
Lovely, loving thoughts. Listen.
I am a white person. We like to do stupid stuff when it comes to creeping ourselves out. You know, I mean, everybody's seen horror movies. We know those tropes about white people and not being smart when it comes to like running away from the scary
things. Let's all split up, guys.
I'm that white person. I'm the white person in the horror movie that just does all that goes into the spooky basement, you know?
Oh, I do too. Hey, I went ghosts like hunting basically in a cemetery.
Oh yeah. I used to do that all the time. I used to do that all the time, you know? So it's like, I'm the cliche white person. That's me. Hi. Okay. So I have two more stories. The next one's just another quick short one. It comes from Reddit user DJ Sugarcube.
These names.
I know the names people come up with. Like, my name on pretty much everything is Sammy Simplicity. It's been that since MySpace, and it will probably be that until the day I die.
Well, if mine isn't Dustin Holden or Dustin Can Read, that old one that I have is D-Meister.
Okay, I will admit before MySpace, at least like my Hotmail account was like emo_kid_@hotmail.com.
I forgot. I used to have it. It was Dustin Holden at itookmyprozac.com. That's not around anymore, but it used to be my email address.
There was an itookmyprozac.com.
It was called like, I think, oh my gosh, what was it called? Something like Fun Mail or something. You could choose your .com.
Really?
Like, yeah. And it was like, they had a whole bunch of ones and that was one of them. So I chose that.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
It might have been run by Hotmail actually.
How did I never know about that? Like that seems like the kind of thing that I definitely would have used to make up like the stupidest email addresses. Oh my God. I took my Prozac.com. That's fantastic. So anyway, so this is DJ Sugarcube. They said, I set it to Anomaly and my intention was something cool. The location was in a backyard, so we drove around to the front of the neighborhood and the sign, and this sign was inside, was the like neighborhood sign. The name of the neighborhood was Cool Pond.
Okay.
Their intention was something cool and it took them to the neighborhood Cool Pond.
Well, they got what they wished for.
They got what they wanted.
Very literal.
Very literal. Okay, so the last story is the creepiest one that I could find, and it's actually been in the news because this one actually kind of turned into a big thing. It's really bizarre and creepy. I couldn't find the intention for their adventure, but basically a group of teenagers in Seattle, Washington were out randonauting, and their coordinates led them to a random suitcase lying on the beach. On the TikTok video they posted, have you heard about this?
I've seen the video.
Yeah. So
keep going.
In the TikTok video they posted, you could hear them laughing about it and joking that it maybe held money or something. But as they got closer to the suitcase, they noticed that it smelled really bad. Really, really bad. And upon using a stick to open it, they found a garbage bag inside, which is where the horrible smell was originating from. And for anybody who listens to true crime podcasts, you probably know where this is going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the teens called the police, concerned that maybe there were human remains inside this garbage bag and suitcase. Once the police arrived, the teenagers were removed from the scene. And, you know, like dozens of police cars showed up, ambulances, fire trucks. It was a lot. And the teens weren't notified. They found out later by like Google searching. That the suitcase did in fact contain the remains of not one, but two human bodies.
Oh my
of 35-year-old Jessica Lewis and 27-year-old Austin Winner, both of whom died on June 16th from multiple gunshot wounds. The case is still open and being investigated as a homicide case. But imagine, like I said, I don't know what their intention was. Maybe it was something spooky or something, but they randomly got sent coordinates that took them to a suitcase full of body parts.
I hope it wasn't like, oh, let's find a dead body. And then it actually took them to one, you know?
Yeah. I couldn't find the intention that they put there, that they thought of. And I really hope it wasn't something like that because that would be unfortunate. But I know,
if it's
like,
that accurate. If it was something like that, and it's that accurate, I mean, don't police need to start using this,
right? Right. For
start
real,
finding them. Start finding some people.
Right. start closing out some cold cases. But I guess the app or the developers of the app like reached out to these kids and were like, we hope you're okay, blah, blah, blah. And then they also made like a statement saying this app isn't supposed to be used for finding creepy things. You know, it's really just supposed to be for fun, but you know, you can't really control what people are going to do with, you know, freedom like that. So obviously they're going to do what white people do in horror movies, and they're going to go into the spooky basement.
Yeah. Well, even if the light doesn't turn on. Oh,
right. So what's going on with this app? Is it proof of chaos theory? Is it smartphones accessing all of your private data and leading you to things that are related to you and all your information? Or is it simply coincidence brought on by the fact that you're already going out looking to find something specific and your brain draws the conclusions based on what you find, which is honestly probably the most accurate one. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you're going out looking for something specific, you know, you're thinking about this intention before starting your journey, you've got something on your mind. And it's right. Like, it's very common that no matter what you find, your brain, since that's what it's thinking about and dwelling on, it's going to make some kind of a connection.
Yeah, you know? That's true. That's kind of like, you know, finding any kind of quote to prove your point. You can find any, you know, you can find anything to prove your point. So
yeah, if you're looking for confirmation bias, you're going to find it.
Exactly.
You know, so that's the most likely probability of what it is. Now, granted, it might also be the fact that smartphones do have access to everything, you know, and all of these apps that we download, they all get access to everything. And they ask when we download them, will you allow us access to your phone and your pictures and your messages
and your microphone.
And we just click allow because we want to start playing the game. You know, so it's like, it could also be that. It could just be both. And it could just be chaos theory. We don't know. I do have one final bonus story I forgot that I had put in here because it was cute and funny. And I feel like we needed something cute and funny after the last story that we just had.
Yes.
So Reddit user, a pretty narwhal. I love that. they posted that they went out randonauting with their intention being the character Shrek from the DreamWorks picture of the same name, and were led to a swamp, which is where Shrek lives in the movies.
Or Woody, that's really...
So they went out with the intention, Shrek.
And what if they found an ogre? I mean, come on.
Right.
What if an ogre had just been there like you missed it?
But it gave them coordinates to a swamp, and they concluded the app did not disappoint.
That's cool.
I thought that one was really funny.
I kind of want to do it now. Oh.
I do too. Like, I might grab some random friends and be like, hey, this is a nice little like
social distancing. I wonder how far out the app will send you as far as like you said it was in someplace in your area, but like how far?
I think you can tell it how far you want to go.
Okay. Within like 5 or 10 miles or whatever.
Yeah. Let me look. Oh yeah. Set radius. And it's by meters. So it's like you can set it from 1,000 meters all the way up to 10,000 meters.
Okay.
Which isn't 3,000 or 4,000 meters like a mile? I think. Hang on. Handy dandy Google. 3,000 meters is about 1.8 miles.
Okay.
So, yeah. But, and then almost it can, two. Like I said. Yeah, and then it can go up to 10,000 miles, which is, or 10,000 meters, which is 6.2 miles. So
okay, that's not so bad.
It's a really close vicinity, and that's as far as it'll go, or as far as it'll take you is within 6 miles of where you're originating. So that's not a very big radius. You know, it's not like it's sending
unfeasible
you like,
to do it by foot if you wanted to.
By foot or by bike, yeah. You know, so it's like it's not like it's going to send you like 50 miles away. It's going to send you somewhere in your world, basically, like somewhere within your backyard, so to speak.
Well, that's cool. I'm going to have to look into it.
It's interesting. I would definitely recommend looking into it. For our listeners out there, if any of you have used Randonautica, please email me about that because I'm really fascinated by it. And if you've had any creepy or coincidental stories, definitely email me about them. And I might talk about them on an episode because it's super cool and super interesting. So, but So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we are going to talk about Dustin's cryptid.
Woohoo!
Okay, so we are back. My Coke has been popped and sniffed and good to go.
That sounds like a different kind of Coke.
Sniffed my Coke. It's Coca-Cola. I'm just kidding. The worst part about sniffing Coke is getting the ice cube stuck in your nose.
Have you seen that meme for 2020? It said 2020, you know, Coca-Cola, like, I think it wasn't a meme. I think they actually posted it saying, you know, 2020 is this bad. We're just going to start putting the cocaine back in.
Yeah, that's, God, 2020 has been a year. Like, it has been a, it's one of those years where it's like, on the one hand, it feels like New Year's was just like a week or two ago. But then on the other hand, it's like, oh my God, that was forever ago. It's
because
weird.
It feels like this isn't real.
No,
like maybe we're going to wake up from some bad dream.
Yeah, like 2020 all feels like dream time. Like when, you know, when you're in a dream and time doesn't really have meaning, it feels long and fast at the same time, or, you know, slow and fast at the same time. That's what this whole year feels like.
Exactly. Because you can't, there's no concept of time really.
No, it's
barely
not
any
really.
Concept of time. The only thing that gives me any kind of time concept is like, I know every day the 5:30 news and, you know, that kind of stuff. Like that kind of gives me a stamp to go by.
Honestly, for me, the only thing that gives me any concept of times is like the holidays, because I know that we're going to have a new outbreak of COVID immediately afterwards. So
I know. And the next big holiday besides Labor Day is Halloween.
Dude, I know I shouldn't hold out hope that Halloween will be okay, but I'm still hoping that we might get Halloween.
Fingers crossed.
I mean, all of my fingers and toes are crossed. I can't cross anything else because it's all crossed. But it's like Halloween is on the perfect day this year. It's on a Saturday. It's a full moon. You know, it's like, it's just perfect. Isn't there even like a Friday the 13th in October this year?
Yeah, it is actually.
So it's like
everything.
Like,
it's like setting the stage for perfect Halloween. And isn't Halloween like on a, it's on a Saturday?
There isn't a Friday the 13th in October, but it is on a Saturday. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, Halloween is on a Saturday and it's a full moon. And it's just, it's the perfect setup for a good Halloween. I have a Halloween party planned out just in case we get to have it.
I hope to come because I want to do something with people.
I know. I miss people. So I don't know. Y'all, if you could just wear your masks for like 6 weeks, just 6 weeks, so that we could have Halloween, please. Just please. I'm asking nicely. Please. I'm not going to yell at you or shame you. Just please. Just
don't
do this
make
for
Sammy
me.
Cry. Okay.
Just
please.
Do this for me.
I will hurt anybody
that
makes Sammy cry and doesn't.
Just do this for me because you love me. Please. I'm begging you. Just let me have Halloween, please. But anyway, I'm sorry. I went down a rabbit trail.
It's okay.
Please regale me with a tale of your spooky cryptid.
Well, my cryptid is something I learned about at a very young age, and it's known as the Suskin Screamer.
I've never heard of that before.
Really?
I have. Well,
more of a localized legend in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And I'll tell you.
How did you hear about it, though, all the way here in Mississippi?
Well, here we go. I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And it was the beginning of my seventh grade year of junior high. And my family just randomly decided, we'd never done this before, to take a trip over Thanksgiving to my mom's hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania.
No way.
Yes.
Okay.
She is from where The Office is based.
I'm a huge fan of The Office. So, I mean, there's another thing that I'm a, you know, stereotypical white person. I love The Office.
So, yeah, while I may be a Southern boy, I do have a little Yankee attitude in me. So
that's okay. I have it too. My parents are from Long Island. So
there you go.
I get it.
Anyway, I believe it may have actually been Thanksgiving Day when the adults were talking about like local urban legends, and they were talking about this place called Gravity Hill.
Okay.
And it's on Suskin Road in this township named Pittston, which is nearby.
Okay.
And Gravity Hill was like this part of the road where you go up the hill and you put your car in neutral, and then the hill would basically pull you up. You would be pulled up the hill backwards in your car.
That's weird.
Yes. Is it really strange thing?
How does that work?
Well, actually, it's an optical illusion.
Okay. I was going to be like, how does physics work with that?
I know. So it's all an optical illusion.
I'm assuming it's kind of like the mystery spot in Santa Cruz, California, where everything is just optical illusions of your, like, water pours uphill and stuff like that.
Yes. It's basically the same thing. Yeah. Gotcha. They've done that with water too down the street to make it look like it was running. And it wasn't. It just looks, it's just the way, I don't know how it works, but it's an optical illusion. That's why. But
interesting.
It's kind of disappointing when you learn that as an adult because, it, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh my gosh, it's magical. And
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So apparently not far from Gravity Hill on Suskin Road is the Black Bridge, which is it's an old railroad bridge that went over Suskin Road. Susquehanna Railroad.
Okay.
Okay. So this is where you might hear or see the Suskin Screamer.
Okay.
Okay. So at this age, we were told a brief story or ghost or of some kind of creature that would kind of possess your car, making the radio and the lights go haywire before, you know, someone or something shows up outside your car window screaming bloody murder.
Oh my God. That's and in my absolutely mind, terrifying.
Yes, I know. You get to this part of the road and all of a sudden everything goes nuts and then you know, screaming.
That is a firm pass from me. Thank you.
So in my mind at that time, I pictured this is my imagination. I'm picturing this gaunt old man with stringy long hair showing up in the window next to me. And
right. Needless
to say, I did not join them on their excursion to find Gravity Hill.
Yeah.
I was like, I am staying here. No, thank you.
Yep. Yep. I would have wanted to go on that trip.
Yeah. I'm glad I just found it was a whole group thing, but you know, like you said, typical white people thing. Go looking for trouble. Yep. And I was not going to be that guy.
I would have been in that car. I would have been like, let's stop and go look for it.
I'm like, now. Now that I'm stupid and old.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's that I have a death wish or that I just, you know, don't know any better. I should know better, but I just, my white instincts kick in and it's like, let's go look for the creepy thing that could kill me.
Exactly. I got to know if it's real. I don't care if I die. Lord. So I recently reached out to my cousin Casey to get more of a local point of view, like what she remembers or what she's been told that she's grown up kind of thing. And okay. It's pretty much close to where I was, but when she, when talking about like the reaching the spot in the road where you were supposed to see the screamer, she said, you know, you were supposed to honk your horn and sit with your lights off. And that's when you would see the screamer.
So you're calling attention to yourself, literally.
It's like, honk, honk. All right, turn off the lights.
Hey, we're here. Come scare the crap out of us.
So, like, this begs the question is the Suskin Screamer a cryptid or a ghost or something, right? What is this thing?
Okay.
So, that part's kind of unclear because there's so many different reports. So, I'm going to give you this. Of course. So, I read a lot of online articles and blog posts, and a lot of them say the same things. Most of the legends I encountered say that the screamer was a young girl who had been hit by a car on her way home from the prom, which is a typical urban legend
that's
used in all these towns all over.
Yep.
So I'm like, come on. Why do you guys say that?
We can do better.
Come on. But then I learned something creepy while I was watching a YouTube video called Urban Legend, the Suskin Screamer.
Okay.
According to the poster, Jason Karlovich, in October of 1969, a 15-year-old girl named Patricia Imlaw was brutally killed when she hitched a ride with the 26-year-old David Ash, who slashed her throat and dumped her body near the Black Bridge on Suskin Road.
Oh, boy.
And it seems after this happened is when all these sightings of a young girl started happening, in my opinion. Like, this is what it seems like that came from.
Right, right.
Because, of course, you know.
And is that
the ghost of Patricia could be the culprit, you know?
Right, right. Is that something that really happened? Like,
yeah,
that murder actually happened.
Yes.
Okay, so that's not just a ghost story. Like, that murder actually happened there.
Correct. Gross. And like, because I found several accounts of it, so I'm hoping that it was, and they were very, very thorough on the names and the ages of these people. So
gross.
And the date, it was October 4th, I think.
So, vomitous. Okay.
Yeah. So this, you know, or you know, could it be Patricia, or could it be this, you know, they say it might also be this jilted bride that had been left at the altar who hung herself from the bridge.
Oh God, that sounds more like a,
that's another urban legend type sound.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Cause I've heard that story plenty of times.
Exactly. And also there's rumors that there was a female escaped mental patient that ran through the woods and accidentally leapt to her death from the bridge as well. Yeah.
Yeah. When in doubt,
like always mental patients.
That's
or so distraught loved ones.
It's so unfair to the people who have mental health problems. You know,
I know. I mean,
I've talked about it multiple times on this podcast, but like mental health is like, it's very near and dear to my heart as somebody who struggled with depression and anxiety, you know, most of my life. It's, I hate seeing, and it's something that, you know, happened a lot in history because it was, not a lot was known about it, and you know,
stigma behind it.
And there was a stigma behind it, and it's like some of that stigma still sticks around to this day. And it's like, it just seems, I don't know, it's very disheartening when I see, you know.
Well, I think that this one, like that, the bride one and the mental patient one, I don't think that's as big now. I think it's more of the whole prom queen thing,
right? I know, but I mean, it's like we still hear a lot of urban legends of, you know, oh, escaped mental patient, you know, is going psychotic somewhere, you know, and it's just. It's so sad seeing, you know, the mentally ill being vilified like that, you know, like, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're all perfect. You know, there are plenty of serial killers who obviously are mentally unwell and they're, you know, they're obviously the villain, but
exactly.
But so many mental illnesses and things that people were committed for were just, you know, things like multiple personality disorder and things like that, where it's like, they just didn't understand it. And, you know, they got vilified for it, but. I'm sorry. Another tangent. I'm full of tangents.
It's okay. Well, that's the end of the mental health thing. So
okay.
There's no more of that urban legend. That's just that one was thrown out there.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But okay. So the cryptid stories go back a little further than these ghostly apparition stories, okay. Right? Another YouTube channel I watch belonging to the account of Amazing Pennsylvania recently posted, I think in a few months ago, a neat video giving various stories of sightings in the area of something that looks like Bigfoot.
Okay.
A very tall ape-like creature that many have encountered along the road. Now I'm not going to give you all those encounters because there's a lot of them. There's, you know, somebody who heard a noise and she looked out her kitchen window and there was a Bigfoot face right outside the window looking right back at her.
Hmm.
And then some, you know, teenagers and stuff. I mean, according to a post on the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association forum, there's this guy named Stan who posted it, which I okay. think I'm guessing is this man named Stanley Zurich, who I saw was a local man who had written some books about Susken Road and the Screamer and all the urban legends.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's him. I'm just speculating because of how he wrote.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
okay.
It might be him, but this person is named Stan.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so Stan says that the legend goes back to the 1800s. He said okay. that there were fire watchtowers in the area, and one day a large fire broke out. And as the firemen were putting out the flame, they heard a blood-curdling scream that freaked them out. They nervously okay. finished the job, and when one later returned to his watchtower, he heard the scream in the woods again, off in the distance. And it was coming closer and closer. And he could see movement in the trees. It was just screaming its head off. And you're like, oh, I mean, so he freaked out and he hid. He ducked down in his watchtower. I don't want to see this.
Yeah.
And he hid until he heard the screams were just underneath him.
Oh, gross. Okay, I got goosebumps there. Okay.
I know. So here's a quote from it. A large creature, sometimes standing, sometimes walking on all fours with a pig-like snout. It seemed that a large black bear had been trapped in the fire and had been severely burned and was crying out in pain.
Oh.
So that right there, like, okay, well, that makes sense there, right? But why yeah. are we still getting these reports today of something with a pig-like snout, furry, screaming?
Right, yep.
Why is that still coming up?
That's, yep, okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's creepy. So, I don't like that.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it a lot.
I mean, that makes sense for that era, but what about later you know. So per the paranormal, the Pennsylvania Paranormal and True Crime Tumblr blog, they said, quote, "That's not the only account of the porcine creature to come out of Suskin Road in the 1970s. A hunter reported that he saw the terrifying creature while out in the woods. He gave the similar description of the pig-like snout and said the creature had webbed feet with long claws, was about 6 feet long and gray in color. It also walked on both two and four legs."
Sick.
Yes. And they continued on.
Disgusting.
There's more.
Oh, God. Of course. But wait, there's more.
But wait.
This is like a cryptid infomercial.
I know.
But wait, there's it's more. Great.
Are you ready for more? In May of 1976, a family of four, like they're going to the lake nearby, and they spotted four large Bigfoot-like creatures by the lake, like sitting near the lake, like a family of Bigfoots.
Gross.
That's what they thought they saw. Similar reports came out of nearby Harveyville in 1984, and multiple sightings of both Bigfoot and the screaming porcine creatures have come out of Luzerne County, which is where this is. They're in Luzerne County.
Right.
But most are concentrated in the Suskin area, especially along Suskin Road. And in 1999, a large webbed-footed lizard creature was spotted in the woods along Suskin Road. And I'm like, okay, that last one, that's the one that gets me, because I don't know how this evolved from the legend, from a ghostly apparition to Bigfoot to a lizard creature.
Yeah, it's really, it's gotten around.
It's gotten out of hand, right? I know that there's like a lizard man legend in like South Carolina, I think.
Yeah, the lizard man of Skateboard Swamp.
Yeah, but this doesn't really make sense here. The only thing I can think of is like, is this a shapeshifter?
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's some kind of weird shapeshifter and it's, you know, hasn't found its shape.
Maybe, yeah.
So back to the legend and how it apparently still happens today. Even though the old Black Bridge was torn down, you can still find the spot where it used to be. There are still railroad tracks by the road. And so the road was a narrow two-lane street that narrowed even more when you passed under the bridge. You know what I'm saying? Like it almost went down to a one lane.
Right.
And so this is why when approaching the underpass, you were supposed to give a courtesy honk to let any oncoming traffic know that you were coming, you know?
Just right.
Give them warning. Needless to say, there have been a lot of accidents here, which doesn't help the ghost rumors, in my opinion.
No, definitely not. definitely not.
So also, with what my cousin said about turning your lights off, you know, that could be the reason for many of those accidents as well.
if you're turning off your lights, you're not wrong. Yeah, in a dark tunnel and probably at night mostly because, you know, nobody wants to go get creeped out and screamed at during the middle of the day. You always go do that at like, tell me I'm wrong. Nobody goes out and tries to.
You're right. But you know, that would even be creepier if you think about it.
But yeah, because then you could actually see it. But it's like nobody goes out at noon and goes, let's go find, you know, this screaming thing in the middle of the day. It's always
just like asking to be made into an urban legend yourself.
It's like you go at midnight when you're all sitting around bored and you don't know why you're still awake. And it's the middle of August and you're just like, yeah, it's just, you know, midnight in August hanging with your friends. And you're like, let's just go find this creepy thing. And,
exactly.
You know, so, and then you turn off your lights in the middle of the night. Of course you're going to get hit. Of course there's going to be car accidents. So stupid, but I get it. I'm stupid and I do things like this. So, yeah, okay.
Don't drive your lights off at night, kids.
Don't do this. Don't do it. Let me do that. I'm a professional. I'm a professional idiot.
Well, the thing is, this thing is starting to feel a little bit like the Upside Down to me.
Like from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's another thing that happens on this road. So you got Gravity Hill with its weird optical illusions, right?
Right.
You got this maybe apparition that screams at you, or maybe it's a creature that comes out of the woods and screams at you, or maybe it's both. We don't know.
So yeah, so you've got the gravity, you've got the strange creature,
You got the strange creature. You've got the ghost. Maybe they could be the same thing, and you know all this weird stuff that goes on there. But also, people will see streetlights out. Usually, 11 streetlights will be out, but they're always different streetlights.
But it's always 11.
It's always 11.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird? That's 11. Think about Stranger Things. I didn't even think about that until just now.
Yeah, God, I didn't even make that connection until you said it. So. All I could think was, why not 13? Just go ahead and add the extra two, you know, and make it really creepy.
I don't know how many streetlights were on this street. There might be 13. We don't know. But, I mean, that doesn't help with any of the accidents either. The streetlights are going out.
No, if the streetlights are out and your lights are off, it's like, of course there's going to be car accidents on that road. God, get the
streetlights. The county needs to look into those lights.
Right? Because, I mean, either it's something turning off the lights, or the lights are faulty, or Dumbledore's out there with his deluminator taking the lights out. And it probably isn't the last one.
And Hagrid lost some creature in the woods. So according to the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association post, back to Stan, quote Stan, he says that you can still hear screams even in the distance, even today. Mm. Even just in the woods, you'll hear screams.
Lovely.
He, of course, still lives in the area, and he says he's heard them a few times, even recently.
Of course he has.
And he said, it sounds like a girl getting attacked or raped in the woods.
Oh, wonderful.
That made me tear up with, like, just sheer terror of, like...
That is just the best. I love everything about that. That is the best.
Yeah. So, on a lighter note, to end on a lighter note here... Okay. Back in 1993, when I went there and heard about this whole urban legend, I actually wrote a short story about the Suskin Screamer after I heard about it.
Okay.
And as much as I could, based on the information that I had.
Right.
And so what's funny is that it's about me and my cousin Casey.
Okay.
And but I will get it to you if you want to share it with your audience. I actually have it in PDF form if you want to read it. It's pretty – it's only 2 pages long. It's really short.
Oh, that'd
and
be fun.
Written by a 12-year-old, so.
Yeah, I might post it on, like, the day this comes out or something like that. I don't know. That'd I always really say cool. that I'm going to post things, but I'm really bad at running our social media. And our listeners know this. Like, we keep getting followers on our Instagram, and I'm just like, oh, honey, I never post on there.
You need to set yourself a timer and say,
and I
post
mean
today,
to,
post
and I just don't. But, dude, that is super cool. I wonder if it's like a bobcat. I'm sure, or not a bobcat, like a mountain lion. Because I'm pretty sure they have
mountain lions.
Well, because I'm pretty sure they've got mountain lions up there, and those things scream. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard them scream. It sounds like a woman being murdered brutally.
Well, they say, like, okay, apparently you go and you're – sometimes it's either outside of the bridge. Sometimes you stop underneath the bridge and turn off your lights and – I even saw something where somebody said, oh, you turn off your car, you turn on your, I don't know, apparently your radio goes nuts and radio silence happens. But you apparently turn off your car, turn off your lights, put your keys on top of your car. I'm like, no, I'm not doing any of this.
I bet those are white people.
No, I'm not doing any of this. No, but they say that you'll see them in your rear view mirror most often.
Oh, God. Yeah.
When I pictured it, I thought it was outside the window, like right in your face.
Right.
But for the most part, you're supposed to see this ghost in your rear view mirror.
Right. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to think of, like, logical explanations because, like, I know mountain lions scream. I know raccoons scream. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard a raccoon scream before. Those things, they do. They sound like children screaming. They sound horrifying.
Like a goat. A goat sounds crazy when it...
Yeah, but those don't sound like, you know... I mean, they scream for sure, but it's like I said, you should look up, like, raccoon screaming. It's terrifying. And I mean...
That'd be the weirdest Google search ever.
I know, but like... and then as with most cryptids, it could be like a barn owl. We've talked about like 3 cryptids on this podcast that one of the potential explanations was a barn owl because those things are creepy looking, especially at night, and they scream like the devil. They are absolutely terrifying and I love them. But so many cryptids are like, it's probably just a barn owl. And it's like, is it though?
Well, at some point I saw something and I didn't really, I should have gone back to investigate it more, but I saw a picture and it was like, kind of like a filleted boar they found like on the side of the road.
Oh, ew, sick.
They're like, it's something got to this. And it was like mutilated. It was not like just, you know, birds of prey took it down. It was like something, right. It looked barbecued almost. and sick. It was crazy. Like you could tell that some, it had tusks and you could tell it was claw marks that had ripped it apart. It was really weird. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or if it's just a random animal, like you
absolutely
said.
Absolutely vomitous. I love it. Well, that wraps things up for today. Dustin, can you tell us a little bit like about where to find you and where to find your podcast before we wrap things up?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find Dustin Can Read pretty much anywhere any podcasts are played. I'm not on iHeartRadio or anything yet, but everywhere else I'm pretty sure I'm at. If you want to reach me, you can do you can send me an email at dustincanreadpod@gmail.com, or you can find me on Instagram at dustincanread or on Twitter, which is @Dustin_Holden.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I know this is kind of new. We're trying out new things. You know, while Tess is out, I hope Tess, if you're listening, I hope we did okay.
I hope you enjoyed it.
but yeah, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on, let's see, August. Yes. August 15th. And my special guest for that episode is going to be Eva Gross. She is one of the hosts of the podcast Paranormal Cattivity. It's a cat related podcast where they read, they're these like young adult mystery novels where the cats solve the mysteries. I don't remember what they're called. I should remember what they're called, but I don't remember what they're called, but it's these two cats that solve mysteries. Super cute. And like, basically her and her sister are the two co-hosts for that podcast. And they kind of, they read the books and then they come back and tell us about the books. And it's really cute. But
well, that's interesting. I might take a listen to that.
Yeah. You'll have, that's right up your alley as far as like, you know, young adult book reviews. And it's like, it's like a whole series. And I think they've done other books like with other guests. I know at one point they covered like Bunnicula, which is, I grew up reading Bunnicula. That is a childhood favorite. So, but yeah, so Eva will be on the 15th. So that's going to be fun. And then, you know, we've got more guests in the future. September 1st episode will be Mark Zimmerman from the Fates of Aizen podcast, which is a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Basically, they're playing Dungeons and Dragons on the podcast, and each episode is the next part in their adventure. And then one of our friends from What's in Your Hometown will be joining us again in later in September as well. So just
awesome.
A bunch of little podcast family outreaches and getting to know each other and share our podcast experience together. So stay tuned and we'll be back on the 15th.
And don't forget,
Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.